What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, number, 240-something. We're kind of doing this on the fly right now, as you can tell, because there's no video. Anthony is not here this week, but I am joined by two wonderful friends who we just had a wonderful outing with each other. First, I'll introduce Mario.
Hey, what's up? Wonderful, terrific, happy. It
was He's great. Happy to be back.
Happy to be back.
And, of course, Jack is back.
Good old Jake.
Jack. I keep getting his name mixed up.
You had me calling him Jack, too, because you kept calling him Jack. Jake, I apologize completely. He does this to me a lot.
Where does the spelling come from?
It's Polish.
It is Polish. Yeah. Okay.
So Jack's the American version.
Gotcha. I see the E in there. I want to see
Jake.
It messes
everyone up.
It does. Yeah. So please, no offense.
None taken.
So you see, now I'm confused. What do I call him?
Call him Buddy.
Hey, Billy.
Call him Buddy.
Good old Bob.
So this might be a short episode because, A, we have things to do, and B, really not much to talk about other than Game On. Introduced Jack to Game On, and we had a really fun time. I walked out with a lot more than I was hoping, but first, let's get, what are your thoughts? What do you think of Game On? Both spots that we actually ended up going to.
It's just amazing to be around like games, so many games and so many retro things, like so many Master Systems games especially. That was amazing. Their collection's insane.
I walked out with so much Master System, it's ridiculous.
Larry got a workout. He's benching 120 right now.
Yes, he did. But I have to say, Larry, you showed incredible restraint not buying that Voltron today.
Shh, don't talk about it. So no one knows it's there.
The Voltron that's not there.
But, you know, as a modder, as we talked about before, you know, with the ROMs and the hacks and everything like that, like, did you see anything pretty, like, did you see anything interesting or
sure,
cool
yeah.
there?
Yeah, they had a lot of repro stuff, which, and some fan-based games that they made physical copies of, which was fun mm-hmm. to see. But, yeah, it's good to see not only them selling old games that are really hard to get, but selling repros of those games, which are more accessible and just, like, seeing the love behind like these two guys that had for this for the retro games, and they're not doing it for the money.
No,
they're
not at
really
all.
There and they're like,
well, the owner might.
Yeah,
but we're talking about Tristan and Jay at the Miller Place and Smithtown Game On locations. Mario, you actually piqued some interest as well, heading out to the store because of your kind of re-interest, I guess you can say.
Well, it's certainly a re-interest, limited. But re-interest, you know, I think I'm going to come to grab a couple of Genesis games, some niche games, and, mm-hmm. and really, the Master System is really kind of where my interest is going right now.
That's what you're looking
so
for.
So I like to find a couple of good Master System games, maybe a couple I never had played back in the day, you know, based on reputation and whatnot, and what was it, Castlemania makes this power-based converter
yeah.
with the FM sound chip, so I didn't have that back in the day. I had to do with the Master System's ratty sound, and I like to hear how these FM chip games sound. So, you know, it's nice. You know, I grabbed the game today, Reggie Jackson Baseball, which was my favorite baseball
game. You're always trying
to
sell me on that.
Yeah, you're going to find out. It's good. They have a home run derby in it. It's
ooh,
a lot of fun.
Okay, then maybe.
You traded those Xbox games for the...
Yeah, I got rid of all these old Xbox One games
old.
That I never... Well, what is old today anyway? I don't even know. You know, I just bought them. I really never played them, and I find with the Xbox I have, I'm picking up a lot of Game Pass games more than
yeah, you do a lot of Game
stuff.
Pass, yeah.
And the stuff I'm buying tends to be of the real old school stuff, like the Atari Flashback games, mm-hmm. their little cheap $4.99 versions of Joust and Pac-Man and all mm-hmm. that. Like, that's what I like. I like to keep things simple and quick and you know.
Fair enough.
That's kind of where I'm leaning as far as retro collecting is the Genesis and the Master System.
And you've always talked to me about, you've talked me into a lot of the Master System stuff and everything like that. And
sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I mean, that's where all my money went today. But luckily now with the analog, I have the adapter for the Master System. I mean, I do have the original power base converter, but I only got that recently, and that's more of a collector's item than anything else. It does play the card games. I forgot.
It does.
Yeah. That's
no,
right.
The original converter does.
That's right. Yep. Because I picked up a card game today as well. But I think it's pretty cool the Master System is starting to get some love. And we were talking because you also, my regret of not bringing the recorder with me because the conversation at lunch was phenomenal and could have been the episode, but I didn't want to pay the rights to the music that was that was playing behind us.
Yes.
I kind of made a point to say like the three of us is almost like three different levels of gamers.
Right.
In a way. Like Mario, you're very casual. Mm-hmm. you love your history of the games, you love your Genesis, your Master System, but you're finding a lot of these games on the Xbox, like you said, on the Game Pass, and you'll start to collect the Master System stuff.
Let's put it, the most current game I bought on the Xbox that's newest is a remake of a Genesis game, Toe Jam and Earl.
Exactly.
Right? You know, I'm like, true. My Very daughter true. And I, we love playing it. We laugh. So...
And then, like, I would say, like, maybe I'm next level up because I love the history, well, because of this podcast, like the history of the gaming, but I'll go out, I got the analog systems, you know, before that I was doing the Hyperkin, you know, trying to recapture the glory days of these systems. Not that I won't buy them, like, if they're available digital, like, you know, like I got the Castlevania collection.
Right.
On Switch.
I have it too.
Yep. So I'm good. But saying that, like, I'll go out and I love it. So that's me, and then I like have like a lot of the like the old like real weird stuff.
I think in your case, it's very much you are a gamer, you're an enthusiast.
Let me show you how to hold a microphone.
Okay, I'm
there
sorry.
There we go.
I think in your case, Larry, I think you're very much a gamer, on above level than me. You're also an enthusiast in general. You are a collector of things.
That's my problem. Once I get something zoned in.
I see a lot of this stuff, too, as investment. Like, you're investing into the podcast. You're investing into the things you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think...
return. But true.
Right?
No, I got you.
Right.
And then Billy over here, you know, he... I'm going to do this the whole podcast.
You got
now.
His name right. It's Steve.
Esteban.
Come on. He's a person just like you and me.
Good old Jack. Run home, Jack. Run home, Jack. You know, you... I think I told you in the store, you can't leave well enough alone when you purchase an old system.
Can't do it.
Like, you told me you modded the Famicom Duo, or the Twin, whatever they call it.
The Famicom Twin.
Yeah. Correct. Like, that's great. And I love that about you. Don't get me wrong. But, awesome. Like, that's your... And so you love the old, but at the same time, you take the old and you Frankenstein it to get to the new.
It's funny, because I'm playing the old on the new is what I have to do to get it to look like it used to on the old CRTs, because I don't have a CRT anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have room in the apartment. Like, I'm limited to whatever we have now. And the OCD comes in with me remembering exactly how this is supposed to look and feel, and it doesn't do it. So whatever I can get it to back to, like, what I've... remember, or even better than it was.
Yeah,
in some cases, like, they fixed the mistakes that were, like, coming back, and, like, you know,
What game was it you were telling? Gradius.
Talk
about fixing mistakes.
Yeah,
right. Or the Super Mario World, which I'm now going to try and play.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Slowdown
to
right?
find the slowdown.
Yeah, SA1 hex. Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure it's on the Switch version. Oh, and I don't even think I have an original Super Mario World. Now that I think about it.
No, these are all fan hex.
Yeah.
So your Super NT might be able to play it.
Probably. No, I meant like to find the slowdown, because I don't remember the slowdown of Super Mario. I remember it in Gradius.
Yep.
I don't. You're talking Super Mario World. Right?
World.
I don't remember it being as bad as it was in like Super R-Type or Gradius 3.
Oh my God, Super R-Type was ridiculous.
It was there. My brother was the Super Nintendo player, so he would know better. Than I would, but I don't remember being as bad. I remember there were moments where it definitely like got slow, and like you said, sometimes it helped you more than it hurt you.
Yeah,
you know,
always helped you.
Oh, a lot of people counted on it.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong.
I still do. I you play those SA1 hacks, you're relearning the game because it's much harder. Yep.
You know, it's funny because we were also talking about muscle memory, and I gave Anthony a hard time on the podcast when he was playing Super Mario World. And like, he's three levels in. Not three worlds. He's three levels in. And he's forgetting how to play. And I'm screaming at the television, what is wrong with you? And then, like, I go and try and play the game again. I'm like, all right. No, I can see what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I can see where he may be misfiring.
Feels off.
I've noticed there is a loss of motor skill.
Big loss of motor skill.
Are you kidding me? Play a shooter on the Genesis. Like, what's on the Mini? The Darius games, right?
Oh, yes, that's on the Genesis Mini, Darius, yeah.
I'll be lucky if I get to the third part of the screen, you know, without dying 10 times. But if I play, like, an Atari game that's really slow, like, so I think my video game motor skills are reduced to that of a 5-year-old now. So, because I cannot play the games I used to beat, like, nothing with any sort of proficiency. I could try. Maybe I'm just not trying hard enough. Maybe I'm just burnt out. I don't know. But, yeah, I kind of suck right now.
What, and between the two of you as well, because again, I you know, I just go nuts when I'm in Game On. But like any games that maybe like you came across, just nostalgia feel. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe I totally forgot about this game or something like that. Anything come across that?
When we went to Smithtown, your favorite. Sega Genesis Pit Fighter.
Oh, no, Pit Fighter.
It's a god awful.
You can leave.
Like, so it's kind of like a guilty pleasure. Like, it's so bad. It's like watching The Room. It's so bad, it's good.
I did not.
We all knew that it didn't play great when we played it back in the day. But my friends and I, one friend in particular, we would just have so much fun playing it and just talking the trash and reciting lines from cheesy Van Damme movies that it became fun. And Hard Driving was kind of like the same thing on the Genesis. Frame rate is awful. The game barely controls. You got to play it in automatic, because if you try manual, you're never going to move. But once you got going and you just would drive around the tracks, it was kind of like cheesy fun, like a fun time killer. So, like, that kind of stuff. And the good nostalgia one, which, again, it might not too many people are crazy about it. It's mixed with Shadow of the Beast. And we looked at that once before. Hate the way I'm using this mic.
I don't have to call you out on it now.
Yeah, you should, and I deserve it.
Because that's why normally we would all wear headphones.
It's just weird. I'm not used to this.
Get me wrong.
Okay.
No one is. Trust me. I'm forcing you into this.
I feel like it's going to smack me in the face.
This is all because Anthony is on assignment. So
this is his fault. Right?
Well, totally. I'm going to blame it on him. But I'm glad you guys had a good time. You had a blast there.
It was fun talking to Jay and Tristan.
Yep, honestly.
That's a lot.
Like I said, won't be the only time there. We'll definitely be back for other times. But, you know, some other stuff we were talking about at lunch, and if anything pops up in your heads, definitely speak up or forever hold your peace. You know, it was funny how I was trying to explain this to Mario, and Jack, you might have a better idea about it. We were talking about Billy Mitchell, the most evil person on the planet.
Billy Mitchell.
Apparently suing everyone, which that I didn't realize, right? In fact, let's talk nice about him, just in case, because this is under my name and Anthony's name. So, but we were talking about how kind of like, I feel like during his Pac-Man perfect gameplay, he was like manipulating the game to the point where he was like reprogramming it live in front of you. And there's also something on YouTube, which I might be able to pull it up, of, you know, again, someone as they play, I want to say Super Mario World, might have been the first one,
right,
I don't know,
right.
Literally reprogramming the game. I mean, I know Mario.
I'm blown away that this can be done in general, like that you can do these hacks with your control pad that, I guess...
Not even control pad, just pure gameplay.
Just through the gameplay, you can hack the game. I think that's wild.
I mean, this goes back to what we're talking about, right? Like, nothing's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Games have bugs in them that exploit both the hardware and the software and everything else. And if you find some of these bugs and these people are coming in there and dedicating a lot of time to trying to find these micro little bugs, like even Super Mario Bros. 3, if you find some of these like glitches that people are doing, it looks awesome.
It does, yeah.
Hey, you remember in Super Mario 3... that if you got on one of like the white pads and you ducked for 5 seconds, you'd go behind it. Was that?
That's in the game. That's part of the game. That's how you got the whistle.
The white block. Going
down. Right. That was an intentional secret. Okay.
Yeah. Because Super Mario Bros. 3 is an actual play, as Miyamoto has told us. That's why it looks like a play. That's why there are acts, you know, at the end of the level.
The curtain in the beginning.
Curtain in the beginning, curtain at the end.
Super Mario Bros. 2 was a dream. Right.
It was also because they reskinned a different game.
Doki Doki Panic. Yep.
Do you have a lot of Famicom now that you have a twin?
Quite a bit, because when we went to Japan, I loaded up.
There you go. I'm not going to blame you on that one.
It was fun, because it was just fun to talk to some of the people at the retro game stores in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once they saw that you're there just because you love to be there, we had some really great conversations with my friend and like them, and we're just talking a lot, and we got a good haul from them. So.
Any good disc? Like for the actual disc system?
Yeah. I picked up both Zeldas. I picked up Excitebike, Versus.
Yes.
And I picked up a few other things.
That was actually on Switch, Excitebike Versus.
Yeah.
That was all the Play Choice versions, right? Like they had a Super Mario Versus.
Well, the Versus is like not the Play Choice. Mm-hmm. They were standalone machines.
Oh, okay.
The Play Choice was just a glorified NES.
Right.
With a different color palette.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right, because the Super Mario verse had a slightly different color palette and was more difficult, am I right?
It was definitely more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, I think it kind of merged Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 a little bit. Again, it's available on the Switch.
Wow.
Yep. So, there you go. just trying to think some other stuff that we were talking about today. Anything new in the world, like with the Mr. Project or anything hacking? Is anyone getting an N64? I need an N64.
Not anytime soon.
Jesus,
nope. My brother's looking for one too. I think he's going to be on the. So I'll keep you. He might even have one. I have one downstairs. I got to look.
Maybe, I don't know.
Saturn and PS1 are going to be the next big.
Those will be the next ones,
but the arcade scene with Hotego and like everyone else doing the crazy stuff is just amazing. So
I can't wait to get my hands on that.
Yeah, oh, it's so
gonna be terrible. Yeah. You think the Voltron is expensive? Just wait.
Buy one arcade.
You showed
board,
incredible,
fun, right?
incredible restraint today. I give you a lot of credit.
All right, so what happened was at Game On, I'm not going to tell you which one. I'll make you drive to both of them, but they'd have like this 30th anniversary diecast Voltron. And if you ask them about it and tell them that the Retro Gamer sent them to you, I will make sure that they tell you it is not available. But it is this gorgeous metal Voltron that I want now. I'm not going to say the price necessarily. It might have already been said on the podcast, but I still don't want to say it. Just respect for Game On.
I won't either.
But it is up there. And I'm telling you, next paycheck, if I show up and it's still there, it's coming home with me.
That's fun.
You just got to let your conscience be your guide, Larry. That's all.
Guilty conscience. It's like Eminem.
I was the one who pointed it out.
You sure did.
I did not expect that reaction. You like
I
you
lit
were
up
ready
Voltron.
To buy it on
I
the
was,
spot.
I
you
lit
up.
Voltron is one of my
sweating. I saw your forehead like, dripping.
Voltron's one of my favorite cartoons. Again, it's what got me into the Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin at least, Power Rangers. And you know, again, looking at it, legit die-cast metal, not the cheap plastic like it used to be. Though I would have taken plastic. And it just looks amazing.
Yeah.
I tell you, I remember the old one from the 80s that you would connect together. It looked like it was about the same in scale. It looked like
I think it was exactly
size.
The same in scale. Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah.
It was definitely sculpted better. It was definitely made nicer. The head movement of the arms, you know, it was a nice thing. But you know, tremendous temptation, which I didn't think it would be, but I saw you change. Color, you turned flush. You started sweating.
I couldn't.
You were shaking a little. We were, you know, we're a little worried about you. And then you showed tremendous restraint.
Drove me nuts.
I actually took a picture of it on my phone, Larry.
I took a picture too. Not of me though. You have a picture of me?
Yeah.
No, I just have a picture of the pieces. Yeah.
Jack,
my
guys.
Oh, okay. Jack has a picture of me starting to cry. You bums. So,
The biggest shocker though was. Some of these games that I thought I'd just be able to pick up, how much they've skyrocketed in price.
Honestly, and I don't think is anything from game. We'll give a price range, but you know, tell them about because you've been looking for something and it kind of threw you off.
Oh yeah,
and preface the prices that we saw today are right on the money
or less than market value.
Yeah,
yep, absolutely. So we went on price charting and like it was way less than market value. So. Mm-hmm. Hats off to them. And they had really great condition stuff. This was not like the torn up stuff.
Not junk.
No, it was not garbage. But
it was a
Super
Mario
Bros.
3. Regular version, not the variant, not the left-hand variant or anything.
I looked through my collection and one of my friends came over. He's like, let's play Super Mario Bros. 3. Of course, let's play it. I looked for the cart, couldn't find it.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure this was one of those that my mom sold to GameStop. And I've just like died inside. So
we're trying
to find one now. And the cheapest ones we could find on eBay now were $65 complete in box, but they were still terrible condition.
Mm-hmm.
And now today or last week, they skyrocketed to over $140.
That's insane. And overnight. I've seen it happen with the pop vinyls.
That's nuts.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And that's condition agnostic. That's just complete in box. Mm-hmm. That just means it has all the things.
It has everything.
So I'm not willing to pay.
No, I don't blame you.
I mean,
I don't blame you. So, like I said, Game On, very successful.
Awesome place.
Before I know, Jack, you're going to have somewhere to go in a little bit. So before you head out, I do want to mention one of the rumors. We might wrap up a little bit later, you know, after he leaves. But I do want to mention this. Apparently, the strong rumor, nothing official by Nintendo, but the strong rumor is that Nintendo is going to be throwing some Game Boy games and Game Boy Color games onto the Switch to add to their NES library and their Super NES library. First of all, either one of you, history of handhelds, or at least Game Boys?
DMG, yep.
Okay.
I messed around with my brother's Game Boy, and I think I had a Game Boy Color very briefly. But
Game
I
Boy
never really,
Color, all right.
Yeah, I never really messed with too many handhelds.
Besides that, nothing, huh?
Tiger Electronics. The old Doc football game from 1981.
Yes.
I played that a little bit.
Awesome.
And those little old arcade things.
Oh yes, 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 yes. I had a Popeye and a Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I had a Donkey Kong. The little ones.
So pure rumor. Everyone's speculating it, but it seems to be getting a lot of traction that it might be legit.
Makes sense for them to do it.
It would. Don't get me wrong, because I feel like it would be next in line. A lot of people are going to say N64, but no, Game Boy has a great lineup. And someone posted just real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 games that would make good launch games if they do this. So just to, again, this is from at the NCS Master. I don't know who that is, but again, this is their idea of what a launch would look like, and I'm just going to read through these real quick. Super Mario Land,
yep.
Super Mario Land 2, Wario Land, Tetris, Kirby's Dream Land, so far those five home runs, mm-hmm. Metroid 2, Donkey Kong, which was the first game to be fully compatible with the Super Game Boy, and a great version of Donkey Kong, Pokemon, now he's showing the Pikachu edition, but probably any Pokemon, Mole Mania, Kirby's Dream Land 2, Mega Man 5, that'd be a push, because yep. That's a tough one to find anyway. Mega Man 5. The Final Fantasy Legend, Donkey Kong Land, the Castlevania Adventure, and Mario's Picross.
Picross was fun. I like
Picross. I have, was I think, the first Game Boy game I downloaded on the 3DS. So, not too bad of a lineup.
Not too bad.
I'm sorry, I don't remember if you said, did you mention any Zelda? Was there any Zelda?
No, actually, there was. Link's Awakening, which would really be the one.
Right.
I mean, they'd probably do Ages and Seasons, but
yeah.
But you'd want to do Link. Well, Link's Awakening is coming out on their Game & Watch.
That's true.
That comes out in November.
Yes.
And Link's Awakening, I will put up against any console game, as far as quality. Yeah. But even with these, you know, you got the three Super Mario Lands. Those work. Tetris was a pack-in game.
Yep.
That's how I fell in love with Tetris. The Kirby games are what they are. Pokemon is what it is.
I don't see them really.
Tetris was a big deal back
then. Tetris was huge. And this version of Tetris, though simple,
that's what
very
put
fun.
Game Boy on the map. Everybody, Tetris was like a... That was a... Even for the non-game player, like adults, that was a game I remember adults buying Game Boys for.
Oh, no, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal.
And, of course, Mario's Picross. I love the Picross series. I fell in love way later. But I absolutely fell in love. I got the Picross, the Japanese Super Picross for the Super Nintendo. Oh, yeah. Both physical copy and it's on the Switch. Nice. But yeah, these line up any... Well, you never really played the Game Boy games. Just like any you would think besides Zelda that would make a great game that they would reflect on the Switch.
No, that...
It's pretty much right there.
Yeah.
Because you know not a lot of third party.
Exactly. So. I'm trying to think of first party titles that Nintendo has the rights to.
Well, I remember Konami had a Ninja Turtle, a couple of Ninja Turtle games that were
really their first good. Ninja Turtle game was awesome on the Game Boy.
The first two, right?
I'm trying to think if I even have the second one, but the Fall of the Foot Clan was fantastic.
That I
in fact, that box right over there, I know this is a visual, but that box there is all my Game Boy stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, and Game Boy Advance. So it's all shoved in there. But something like Alleyway, you know, that's a version of Breakout, you know, stuff like that. I'm trying to think what I even have on a 3DS, because that really would help, because that means they already have, I guess, license for them. And maybe some of the earlier Mega Man games. Not as much Mega Man 5, but as much as the earlier. But I would be totally excited for the Game Boy on there. You know, I was telling Jack before, I keep, every 2 weeks, I'm looking to purchase a Super Game Boy 2. You know, get that nice blue palette, the blue cart in there. And of course, the only difference is like the run, like the clock inside of it, so it runs like a normal Game Boy. I didn't know it when I was 12. Am I going to know at 41? Probably not. So who knows? And then to hook up to, here's the best thing about the Super Game Boy 2, and then we can start to wrap up for you so you're not late for where you got to go. The Super Game Boy 2 allowed you to link a Game Boy to it.
Yep.
So one person would be playing on the Game Boy, the other person would be playing on the television. Not sure how fair that is.
Yeah, I think the guy on the TV has a little bit of an advantage. just a little bit. You know?
Just a tad. Yeah. Just a tad.
If you squint really hard, the Game Boy guy.
All right, like I said, Jack, I don't want you to be late. I know you got somewhere to go. So,
10-15 more minutes.
Okay, yeah. No, that works then. That's fine. You know, I'm trying to think of some other news that we've been seeing happening here. I mean, mostly this is going to be a Nintendo episode because this is the only website I'm looking at.
Says the guy who bought like all these Master System games right now.
All right,
why don't you go through what you got today?
Fine. Hopefully, my mother's not listening. So I did get a lot of. I could have just bought the Voltron. You know, in all honesty, through recommendation of both you guys, I picked up NHL '94 for the Sega CD.
Rich will be proud.
No, it's a very good version of the game. has a couple of extras. I do notice a slight difference in animation.
Mm-hmm. It better be if it's a CD version.
And a lot of people consider 94 the best in the series of that age. That 94 was the high point of the... Although I have heard more recently and through these YouTube videos that some of the later versions of NHL were really good, like 97, 98.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Like they won't...
You know, now you can purchase NHL 94, but it's got the current rosters.
I've heard
but
that.
But it plays
yeah,
like NHL...
That.
No, for real. Oh, it plays really? Like... And my buddy plays it all the time.
That's amazing.
It's NHL 94, but current roster.
And didn't NHL put out like one of the newer versions where you can play... Using like the old graphics.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think it's standalone. I think you have to buy NHL 22.
Right.
But
that's what
it's like a bonus that works with it, and it 94, but with current roster.
That's amazing.
So
I always liked NHL PA 93.
That's my favorite of all time. NHL PA 93 for Genesis.
But most of my friends who played hockey for real, and love the NHL and. They always preferred 94.
The world says 94. Wasn't 94 in Moratz?
Zero auto goalie, though. Turn that off as soon as you get in the game.
Will do. I picked up a new... Tiger Electronics has... and this is from a couple years ago, but I just picked one up now. These aren't even rechargeable. I got to put batteries in them. Oh, man.
So retro.
Tiger Electronics. The disappointment begins before you even take it out of the box.
Tiger Electronics Transformers G2. That's just for fun. That's just going to be for fun.
I didn't even see you pick that up.
For the Atari, Towering Inferno.
That looked like an interesting game.
And to be fair, I really didn't even get a chance to play a lot of it, so I don't even know what it's going to be like.
Looked fun.
But we'll give it a shot.
Looked like fun. Yeah, that looked good.
Thanks to Patman QC on YouTube, who's been doing a 6-part, soon-to-be part 7 release of Batman Returns games, literally Batman Returns, I picked up for Game Gear. Batman Returns, which I remember loving playing this game. And I got it in box.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And I think the Mega SG has an adapter for the Game Gear.
I never played the Game Gear.
Oh, absolutely. I have it.
No.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, so you're golden.
Yep.
I know we talked about the Genesis and Sega CD versions.
Yeah, I played it this morning. I wasn't happy with it.
Yeah, you just...
I kind of forgot.
With the Sega CD, the only thing worthwhile about it is the driving sequences. And they're probably dated by today's standards.
That's okay,
the platforming, even then, I always thought was awful. You know, I had the Sunsoft Batman Genesis.
Yes.
One, which... It was no. I don't think it was as good as the NES ultimately, but it did hew closer to the movie with the scenes and how it played out.
That's an NES.
I remember playing Batman Returns. My cousin had it, got it on the Genesis. It was one of the first games I can ever remember thinking as a teenager, this is unplayable.
But the Super Nintendo version is phenomenal.
Super Nintendo version, it's more like Final Fight.
Absolutely. Yeah. But also, Castlevania. You know, you talk about getting the power base converter. Mm-hmm. Castlevania also, I think, is selling a Master System converter for the Game Gear. Because the Game Gear is basically a Master System.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, pretty interesting. Okay, moving on with all Master System, basically. Action Fighter, which, again, I love the reading from the back. Take the motorcycle from Hang-On, equip it with high-tech weaponry, and give it the ability to transform itself into an aircraft or car, and you've got Spy Hunter. I mean, Action Fighter.
I mean, the other selling point about that they're not going to put on there is that, and basically rip off Spy Hunter completely.
Basically.
Because it's basically Spy Hunter on the Master System.
I picked up, and again, this is Retro Sutra, which I follow, did a great compilation of Ghostbuster games, and... Again, Mario has mentioned this in the past, but the Master System version of Ghostbusters looks like the best one of all.
I find it to be the only playable one.
And hopefully it doesn't have the NES opening. Ghostbusters!
I don't think it did. I think it just played the theme. And I think what I think happens, you'll see the lyrics scroll across at the bottom of the bouncing ball. I think that's what it did. But graphically, it looks nice. The controls are a little more forgiving than the NES version. And it's just a better made version of that, which is like, you know, you go to each spot, you capture ghosts, you make some money, you buy equipment, like a franchise kind of game, you know.
Of course, because I have the adapter for the Sega card, so I picked up my second card game, Ghost House, which looks interesting.
I gotta know how those card games are.
We'll try it in a little while. Yeah. Hey, look at that. Check that.
Yeah.
Out. And then I picked up actually only because I like the box. You know, the Famicom games had some good boxes, and sometimes you think it's one of those porno games, but it's not. Namcot Final Lap, which looks like Well, it looks like Final Lap.
All those boxes were like that on the Famicom?
Not all of them, no.
No, it's,
they were, they like cardboard? That.
No, yeah.
That kind of reminds me of the Sega boxes, in a way.
It does, or you like know, it's a hard plastic.
Or the VHS ones, remember those really fancy
yes,
ones?
Yes, clamshell. Yeah. No, because I have some boxed Famicom games over there, and they're just regular box games. But I figured pick that up, because like I said, it just looked pretty interesting. Other than that, that's basically about it on my haul, as usual. I go way too crazy.
What was the one that you had to put back?
Oh, yes. Oh, that was, The military game.
A Rescue Mission?
Rescue Mission.
Right.
So I was going to pick up Rescue Mission for the Master System. Looks amazing. Basically, you're on a rail system the entire time. We looked it up on YouTube. It looked pretty cool. And yes, you probably could use a cartridge.
Right.
But when I went to ring it up, Jay was like, oh, please play this on a CRT screen. So in my head, I'm like, no, I don't have a CRT. I have a regular television. What do you want from me? And then he just casually, because I didn't even know, I didn't even read the box fully.
See,
He's like, because of the light gun. I'm like, what? The light gun game. All right, I got to put that back on the shelf.
I thought I grabbed that box, looked at it. I thought it said controller pad.
You probably could use it, but again, if you got to use a controller pad
maybe
or
it's
light
a
gun.
Based
exactly. It's like Punisher on NES.
Ugh.
Exactly.
No controller
for that. Is there really a good Punisher game besides the arcade game?
Not I don't really. Think so, man.
And I never even really played the arcade game.
Yeah. I know I've heard the Genesis adaptation's not that great.
I might have played the arcade game at Barcade, I'm trying to think. I don't remember. But that was my haul. Jack, did you end up with anything?
Yeah, I bought a Wii U Pro controller again.
There you go.
Because mine broke.
There you go.
Not through its own fault. I ran it over with something that I shouldn't have.
Wow. All right.
And I picked up some weird...
He rage quitted.
Yeah, I just rage quit with a trailblazer.
That is rage quitting.
That is commitment.
Anthony
to
has
quitting.
Told the story of whipping the N64 controller, which I was there for, across the room during a game of WWE No Mercy. And, you know, with the way those N64 controllers are, it could kill someone. Yeah. And, I mean, he chucked it. It might have embedded into the wall. I'm not 100% sure. But running the Trailblazer over a controller, that is dedication.
So, I'll finish what you got, and then I'll tell my rage story.
One
more
was a little drawing pad app.
That thing is really
Wii.
Cool, though.
Yeah, it just looked cool.
It is called
UDraw.
Yeah.
UDraw.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pretty cool. You'll hack the hell out of it. So, Lord knows what you'll turn it into. What were you going to say?
Skynet.
just a little story about rage. I think it was rage quitting. I think only... Thank God I got it to work again. But I used to have my stuff... When I was a teenager, I lived in Westbury. I had all my stuff in a basement. And I had, you know, the old TV. It was a Zenith.
Yep. There you go.
And
a magnet box.
It was in one of those old unit pieces, right? So I had my Genesis. And I was getting very frustrated with Mortal Kombat 2. To the point where I... Now, my unit piece was in the middle of the basement room. It wasn't up against the wall.
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of an
weird. Okay.
I split the room in half.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, I had my bed on one side, and I had a game room and a guest room.
Gotcha.
For others, right? So, I got so mad. I threw my controller to the floor, and I karate kicked the TV... Which went through the panel. This was a 19-inch TV, so you know it had a little weight to it. Through the panel, and I heard a big pop.
Oh, jeez.
And it hit the floor. Now, the TV still miraculously worked. The plastic was a little split at the bottom. And what was happening, from that day afterwards, I couldn't get the remote to work, so I had to manually turn it off.
Aww.
And every time I hit the power button, I'd get an arc flash. I think the grounding broke, and I would get zapped every time I turned that damn thing off. It lasted me a long time after that, but it was never quite the
same. Still had it.
I lost to...
the constant memory of
a
loss.
I think I was using Reptile, and I lost to the guy with the teeth and the knives for hands.
Oh,
the Baraka.
Baraka, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
You got a toasty out of it.
Yeah, I got
it. It didn't work too well.
Yeah, but I remember kicking that kind
of thing. Fantastic. Rage quitting, folks. All the rage. Oh, that's the last thing I want to mention just real fast. So, and then we'll wrap it up. The Atari VCS. I posted this earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
This is just kind of for the three of you out there besides me who have an Atari VCS. Apparently, there are three new apps on it for free that you can download. Because through the Atari VCS, you can now play the Amazon Luna. You can play Google Stadia. And you can play Xbox Cloud Gaming. I think that is pretty interesting and might be a very big selling point for the Atari VCS, in my opinion.
You know, what I'm curious, in your expert opinion, Jack about the VCS, before you go, have him turn it on and listen to that fan go.
They kind of fixed it. They kind of, not like the very first time.
Because when he first got it, we were playing it, that fan was going.
I thought it was going to take off.
It was a hot.
I think through a firmware upgrade, they kind of was able to fix it.
That lessened?
I think it did, yeah.
What is it, an FPGA device or what is it?
No, I don't. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so, because it doesn't take any physical media. So I think it's just, it is what it is, but the fan was so loud. But I think, again, I think they kind of fixed it in post, if you will. Because, yeah, that first, actually, I do have a video of it. I was sitting across the room, you just hear...
Like, I thought the thing was going to blow up.
Honestly, it was crazy. But, yeah, apparently now you can play Google Stadia, Amazon Luna for the four of you out there, and Xbox Cloud Gaming. So now a reason to buy an Atari VCS. So
nice.
With that, I think we'll wrap it up. Like I said, it's going to be a short episode, and with no video, it would be very boring to watch, a very long episode. So we'll call it at this point. Jack, do you have anything? I don't know if you promote anything or whatever you want.
Nope. As usual.
Awesome.
Just me.
I like it. Mario, anything?
I promote you guys. Listen in on these guys.
All right. Fantastic. And yes, follow us everywhere. Just do a search for the Retro Gamers Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram TV, which if you find us on Instagram, will be Instagram TV. Again, just search Retro Gamers Podcast. Email us. Email@theretrogamers.com. Remember, if you have an unpopular opinion, send it on in. We'll talk about it. If you have a an oddball game that you remember, something, you know, kind of out of the blue, let us know about that as well. And Mario, Billy, Ryan, Reynold, Jack, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me on this episode. Really appreciate it.
It was fun today, man. It was a good time today.
No, absolutely. And folks, with that, we will catch you next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.